welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local Kubota tractor dealer. It's springtime in Northern California. Time to get your equipment in and get it serviced, checked out, and ready for spring planting and mowing and all that.
And if it just looks tired and sad and rusty and old, just get a new tractor.
Just go get a new one. Yeah. They got lots of those down there, too. They'd love to take that old one off your hands. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just right off I-5, just south of Phil's Propeller. And you can call them at 226-9226 or get them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
All right. So not to dilly-dally, because we have a lot to cover today. You can find all the information that we're discussing along with the archives of the program probably by about 3:30, 4 o'clock this afternoon. They will be a commercial-free archive posted for you at wethepeopleradio.us. You have the information to contact Bill, or you could contact Aaron. You can email us or call us. Our phone numbers and stuff are right on there. We like to hide right out in the open. And our guest today is Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technology, and he is the National Security Advisor for them. He focuses on strategic planning for the national security stuff that they do. And as a consultant, he works with public officials, U.S. government committees, departments, agencies, think tanks. That's what we're doing. He's working with us because, you know, obviously we're a think tank. And corporations. Works on special national security projects. And they define clear, hands-on working solutions for crisis preparedness and crisis readiness scenarios. They work with all the departments in the government. They send things to the White House. They're just all around smart national security guys. So the focus of today's show is national security compromised. And so we're talking some about the FISA courts. We spoke about that in the first part. And what's happened with this little Russia thing. And the fact that it's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over. So,
and it's still going on.
The folks who, perpetrated all of this really need to be figured out, because...
And the point we were on when we had the break was the fact that over 3,000 positions have not been filled as of yet.
In the Trump administration.
In the executive branch, because of all this flack they're throwing up, and that they have to defend themselves from. If they would just let them alone and let them get their jobs done, imagine what we could have gotten done. And what Bruce was saying was that these 3,000 positions, that's just the executive positions. Each one of those probably bring 15 or 20 people along with them. So there's a lot of folks that are waiting in the wings to be confirmed once we get the
they don't all need
cleared
to be confirmed, but just to get things done.
We're not
looking to bloat government by any means, but there are a lot of things that need to be accomplished instead of running around on. I mean, it's a little bit like, I guess, in micro, and it's interesting that Bruce is in Chicago because the Jesse Smollett thing is in Chicago. And look at how much time the police wasted investigating that, only to have it be a hoax. And then at the end of the day,
they throw it all out.
They threw it all away and let the guy walk. And if we do that at the national level,
imagine.
You never stop that stuff.
But we say it's 3,000 people, but we're talking about national
also
security.
500 Class C positions that are under the secretaries, assistant secretaries, all that. 500 of those in each of the departments and agencies.
Right. So how effective are your secretaries when they can't even get their people in there to help them make the decisions?
Right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's execute the president's policy and programs, which is required by law, and that they have to check back with Congress for accountability standards, responsibility and transparency. It's not being done.
Nope.
And that's the president's being sidelined, just from that point of view.
So we were talking about the Pandora's box you in, Bruce. Why don't you pick it up there and
that's exactly what we're saying.
Yeah.
What you heard before, there was this commercial break you had, and there were maybe 5-6 different, talking about Joe Biden and different things that are happening. That's what goes in people's minds. That's what I'm trying to convey here. All this information, it's a super jamming effect on people, and they can't absorb everything. If you're trying to isolate what we're talking about, try not to think of it as a hoax, right? Or Spygate, okay? or Operation Crossfire Hurricane, think of it as a big problem with national security that needs to be corrected. That's a different way of looking at it. Damage has been done to the national security of the United States because of this. And these people are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
They use the counterintelligence FISA court for that reason. Does that make more sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page, because I can talk about it in several different ways. But that, in particular, is what gets my goat personally. These are our friends. And when we were talking about it before, we don't know whose lives have been sacrificed because of this misdirection of national security. It's been compromised. There are a lot of people who can attend to a lot of different things in national security that have been doing it. And all these appointments in these different positions.
And when you talk about national security, I think the layman out there, when they think about national security, they're thinking, oh, we need a wall. That's the southern border.
That's part of it, but that's just a smaller grasp.
Exactly.
Larger strategic crisis readiness, crisis preparedness.
Mm-hmm. That's a small piece of what we're talking about here.
Right. We're talking about people's lives being online every day. It's not just the CIA. You watch TV. No. It's Department of Homeland Security. You know, they get a lot of people there. You get ATF, DEAs all over the world. Afghanistan with the drug lords.
Mm-hmm.
People understand. The DEAs everywhere. I mean, it's part of what we do, how we do it, and how our friends are putting their lives on the line all the time, our brothers and sisters. And the same people in, you know, MI6, they're doing the same thing. But who in that group I'm talking about has, you know, worked with Operation Crossfire? I know they're feeling the pressure now, and when Steele comes in for testimony, you know, I want to know myself, you know, was his group networked through and using it illegitimately for working against the President of the United States? Where was the dark money coming from? And I don't want to talk about that anymore because I got a lot more to talk about that personally. So, but that's another topic.
So knowing what we know about, you know, Bruce Steele, why is his Richard Steele? Why is his testimony that important when we know he supplied basically a bogus report?
That's what everybody else is saying. Where did the information come from in the first place? How did they get it? Who was the people that gave him the money to do it?
Right. But he's already said that he can't confirm it.
We don't know that. You're assuming, like a lot of people do, the network that each agent has is international. He was a Russian specialist. Mm-hmm. How many people in Russia were trying to support his efforts? How many people in Europe? Mm-hmm. Where did they surface the dossier at the Halifax, meeting, the security meeting? It ended up in, you know, Reed and John McCain's hands. I don't want to talk about that part. We can talk about that later.
Well,
it's a network. That's another web we need to discuss at length. That can take 2 hours.
Right. Well, can we trust that the committees will ask those questions?
We can go further down the list here because we have some more questions to ask.
Okay.
Or I think Attorney General Barr is interested in looking at the truth and helping preserve the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. It's national security at that level.
Right.
Yeah,
if we forego this, then we're sacrificing our U.S. Constitution.
Sure.
Right. You can't have an election and then have the national security apparatus basically overthrow it because they want to.
They didn't like the results.
Yeah, that's Banana Republic Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a way of looking at it, but it's been that way for 30 years. And when somebody comes in that's different, that starts changing the mechanism of how it was working, then you get this huge pushback, and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Barr will be effective?
Well, we'll see what he wants to do. I mean, he has a huge task under his hands.
Oh.
I was glad that he was approved by the Senate, and now he has to move forward.
The good news is he didn't recuse himself out of the box.
Seriously, at the depth and breadth of what happened.
Right.
This is not your common, ordinary case. This is talking about the survival of the United States and U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, how we are here, what we're here for, and what we mean to each other to protect each other's interests and to provide a national security that fulfills that duty, and the President of the United States as Commander-in-Chief fulfills that duty.
All righty. We've got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Bruce Moran. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Now, on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad, 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 bad.
Moon horizon, I see trouble on the way.
Back. Okay, so from now until 2 o'clock, we can no longer say we're not talking about that.
Oh, we can't?
No. No, okay. Are you going to... The next person who says it's going directly to the penalty box.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
We don't have a lot of hockey out here, but I grew up where they had... Actually, I lived down the street from Bobby Orr. Penalty box. So
under item number 7 on your list here, you go through kind of a list... it says, how deep into the bowels of the United States government did the hosts of Operation Crossfire Hurricane operatives and their supporting teams work to try to undermine a sitting president of the United States? And then you go through 1, 2, 3, 4. Can we go through that, Bruce?
Sure, I'd like to go through the information above it to help support the information below it.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. We know that there's a FISA warrant. You can get two different kinds. One's FISA warrant 1, one's FISA warrant 7. Number 1 gives you all means necessary to investigate. So the President of the United States didn't have anything to back him up. They can go in and look at anything, anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, what's the criteria for a 1 versus a 7?
They applied for it in the FISA court, and they got it.
Oh, okay.
And they use a dossier as information from Fusion GPS.
But the one is typically used to for spies, where 7 is more for.
I don't think President Trump is a spy.
I know.
Depends on how much CNN
Mike
you watch.
Flynn is a spy.
I know. That's what's crazy. It should have been under 7, but.
Okay.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Well, now you know how convoluted the national security damage has been.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. We got to keep an eye on that national security damage. And how do we correct this problem? Lindsey Graham's going to go into some of it. Attorney General Barr's, William Barr's going to go into some of it. I think there's a lot of movement that needs to be done to protect the U.S. Constitution. And it's been grossly usurped, undermined, and discounted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
at all levels.
I think
it's at the federal level, the state level.
Well, the thing is, the accident that is made, I think, oftentimes with public perception is that when the guys you don't like appear to be getting their head handed to them, people are kind of happy about that. But they're not looking at what's actually happening. Because stuff like this shouldn't be happening to anybody, regardless of party, whether you like them or you don't like them. Because if it can happen to them, it can happen to anybody.
It's going to happen to you.
Yeah. We no longer are running a republic.
That is true. That's not the way the Constitution was written.
No.
Or the way you legally follow the rule of law.
Right.
When you have no rule of law, then you have chaos, then you have mayhem, then you have social.
We've seen the commercials. It's bad. Yeah. Mayhem is bad. Although I do think that guy's
funny. It's just terrible that I need to talk about it in this fashion.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting to all my colleagues that are in the investigative agencies. We have gone through 200 plus years of establishing a criteria for protecting the United States under the National Security Council. Has been turned upside down on its back, and we need some resolve.
I mean,
heavy resolve from Congress.
And it's been
owning up to what has been done.
And it's been turned upside down by basically a handful of people.
It's not a handful of people. You keep saying that. It's not.
A big handful?
Okay, thank you.
How big are your hands?
Yeah. I got it.
So not little girl
25
hands.
Fingers on it. So I'm going to, I don't want to joke around.
These are like Paul Bunyan hands.
You guys are something else.
I know. We're luring you in, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from that. On any other topic, any other time.
But you know, Bruce, honestly,
it's okay.
Everybody
know, but
just.
National security being damaged to this extent
yep.
that it usurped our Constitution, it undermined it, it's far in excess.
Right. It is, and we don't mean to undercut the actual topic. It's just, God, I don't know, maybe it's just me. If you don't goof around a little bit, it just is too, I mean, then you start using words that Ashley's got to beep out, and, you know, anger, and so much of that.
So it's just not the FISA court, that's what I'm saying.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And how it was operational at that time. It happened in 2011 with the FISA court, and people don't understand it. That's what I'm trying to suggest here, that this is just as important as what happened today as happened in 2011. The Obama administration was given permission from the FISA court to reverse restrictions on the national security's interception of phone calls and messages and emails. So that gave it full-blown rights back in 2011, and then they had any ways and means necessary then. It wasn't approved by Congress. There was no public debate about it. It was just done. So in 2011, they were given the go-ahead. So they had this in place.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
All that was in place, and by the time 2016 and 2017 rolls around, and they want to do things with the FISA court and unmasking, it was like kids' play.
Yeah, there was not much to change. It was already there.
Yeah, to corrupt. That's what I'm saying.
Right. And why is it nobody said anything about it in 2011? I mean, any ideas?
Well, who was in the office at that time?
Right. But, I mean, it wasn't done by one person, right? The handful. Not a handful. It's a lot of people.
Okay, that's a tangential question. See what I mean?
Okay.
We want to go to where we are today.
Okay, well.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
Penalty box!
I mean, that's a good question, but for another time. You know what I mean? It's not pertinent to understanding the greater damage it was done and started in 2011.
Yeah. I just always think it's interesting when these things...
That's how grossly unjust this was to people who were unmasked or people who were brought under the FISA court or people who are still in control in the executive branch that know how to manipulate it and to control the president of the United States from that aspect. They're still in there. They don't want to leave office. They're supposed to leave office. They're supposed to allow the president to have those 500 positions approved by the House. Excuse me, approved by the Senate. And then the 3,000 vacancies filled. That hasn't been done.
Hmm.
So let's get back to what we were talking about.
Which time?
You have me talking tangentially. What
the questions
the
I had that we're not answering?
That exist in the government right now. So we had leaks to the press. Where did they actually come from? Were they coming from individuals in Operation Crossfire plants inside the White House? Possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Or they come from outside clandestine operations? Where we talked about in 2011 onward in the FISA court, they can intercept phone calls and emails. Or had the source of the leak come from both? That's what was driving President Trump crazy at the time. and President Trump didn't know what to do. Because how could you know?
Right. Well, I remember that. There were just so many leaks. There were leaks everywhere, and they couldn't tell who was talking. I think they arrested one girl.
Yeah, he tried to crack it down.
Yeah.
And then Kelly gets hired later, you know, and he put a handle on it. But how can you put a handle on a dam where you're putting a bandage and it's overflowing like crazy?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about here. Now you understand what I'm trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Kelly came in and tried to do his best, who is still compromising the president and Kelly and fulfilling their duties to keep the leaks from coming from the White House?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
these
aren't
dumb.
I guess we should have seen, you know, everybody should have seen some of this coming, but I don't know if anybody, I mean, this was pretty brazen stuff.
Well thought out, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody was ready for that.
You know why I know about it? Our team knows about it. We've been reporting in on it. But we don't know what's been taken care of, what hasn't been taken care of.
Mm, okay.
That's why you see what's written here. Mm-hmm. This is very eye-opening.
Yeah, I had no idea they actually wiretapped the White House.
You want to read number two? No, I can explain that.
Had the White House communication systems and or backup technical redundancy systems been partially run by carryover individuals or companies who were part of the Operation Crossfire Hurricane.
So some of the technical staff was still in place.
Yeah.
That is far-reaching.
Sure.
So how do you know? How do you know who compromised national security?
Yeah, I don't
know.
The
president's White House and the old executive branch is the White House, of course. How was that established in the first place? With technical redundancy to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jeez.
So yeah, how do you get rid of it? How do you clean it up when they have backups on their backups?
Yeah.
You know.
You got rats in the wood pile.
Here's how you would say it, Bill. A back door on the backups.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what that means?
Yeah, another way.
They have a way of coming in and coming into the communication system through a back door. Now, they could have put in a technical redundancy, some part, or anywhere within the system itself.
Right.
The infrastructure of the so.
Well, I have an idea on what we could do, but we'll do that after the break.
Well, I think what they did was they hired the Owan brothers, and then that was supposed to clean it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I think we ought to do, but
all right,
we'll
back.
We'll let the musical interlude solve that problem for
us. Let's go to number three when we come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do it.
Thank you.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you
while you're a part of Crackerbox Palace, do what the rest don't do. Or face the fact the Crackerbox Palace may have no other choice than to deport you.
We're back. Alrighty. Where would you like to go now, Bruce?
I think we are on number three.
That's a good one.
You're not Bruce.
Number two, so I think it's a good one to cover.
Okay.
So we look at the opportunities that exist for the president to be spied upon in the White House and how that could be done and to what extent it could be done and how they can surround the White House in technology. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So you don't have anywhere to move or go because you're spied upon in every capacity that could ever be spied upon. And that was, like we're saying, that was done in 2011. And then you have a FISA court number one warrant that gives you any means necessary. And then if the system itself was compromised, And through all the different ways you know how to do it, if you look at the Vault 7, it happened 2017, of the NSA, CIA was given up. You can go into the iPhones and any kind of electronic consumer device.
Sure.
And tap in. You know, that's the computers, and that's your printers, and that's the HVA system. You know, the Chinese did that all over the United States, so it's common knowledge in that area. But if they want to get in, they get in. So this is what we're calling, did they backdoor the White House?
And that's pretty serious stuff. I mean, when you're spying
on the president's going crazy, worried about leaks, and Kelly's trying to lock it down, they could turn all that stuff off for 2 weeks and then turn it all back on. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they're part of that Operation Crossfire Hurricane. So technology is as good as you make it, and it's a term I use, and they use it today. It's called morphing. And the technology will adapt to what you're doing. So if you discover it, it will hide itself and adapt to hiding itself from you once you found it.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's stressful.
The technology software is written to that extent.
Because I was going to say, don't they like sweep for these things or something? Or is that really old, outmoded stuff?
Can you kindly say that again, please?
Like, you know, they always, like in the movies and stuff, they like sweep for listening devices. You know, they seem to be able to just walk around with...
Can't get into a system
and see
if
TV remote control.
See if there's any bugs to, you know...
Yeah, I'm assuming it's more complicated than that, but I mean, is it even possible to know?
Okay, say I work for Operation Crossfire Hurricane.
Okay.
And you're coming around with your devices to check. So I call into control base, okay, we'll call it comp center.
Mm-hmm.
They turn everything off. They're checking.
But if it was left on, they would be able to, they might be able to detect it?
Yeah, but the common malware viruses now can adapt and they morph and they adjust.
Yeah.
If they're in there. So you have to have a forensic team that really knows what they're doing, how they're doing it, where they're coming in, you know, and then.
Right.
And then. I think the White House gets hit on about a million times a day.
Sure.
But if your inside group is part of Operation Crossfire, then you don't have a stone-cold chance anywhere, you know.
Yeah, you have no clue.
No. Well, you do, but then you know it's happening, but you don't know how to address it.
So
that's what I'm talking about. Where did this happen? How did it happen? Did it happen during transition period where you had the transition team? Did it happen when the people were taking office? Just forming. We don't have more Michael Flynn, right?
Right.
We knew things happened at that time.
Sure.
And then we have when all the new people come in. So we knew there were 400 people on the national security team at the time. They had to hire a bunch of people. And how many of them were part of that system? How many were not? And then how many people at the White House were using their cell phones and not checking them in correctly? Because Kelly was hired later.
Right.
As Reince Priebus. So we had this whole slew of problems with national security that existed that compromised the president. And that's why he was ticked off. You know, I mean, he had a right to be.
So when you know, because when we would always hear that there was some leak out of the White House, you always think of somebody, you know, printing something out,
some individual player that's, you know, sneaking documents out or...
But potentially, they're just...
That's old school.
That's old school.
That way, too. But it can happen probably... I can think of 30 different ways.
Yeah.
Sure, it'd be much more efficient to just listen in.
Just digital information leaving the White House. So to answer your question, did the CIA work as a lead USD organization to run Operation Crossfire Hurricane? Answer yes.
No, that's something AG Barr has to ask and find out and do the investigation.
That's in the hot box.
Okay. All right.
So that's a question I'm asking because I know the great vulnerabilities that exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that some of them haven't been corrected because I can't talk more about that, but just say that they're...
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So
then you had national security staff carryovers from the Obama administration. So we don't know if they were part of it or not.
That's right.
So waiting to find out that. So these are basically...
When I saw this presented on TV... In terms of the cable news network, they weren't understanding this component, this tech component combined with people inside, outside, sometimes in, sometimes out. You know,
sure.
It can happen in such a variety of multiple ways. That's why I said President Trump is doing a victory lap in an armored car, you know,
mm-hmm.
because the exposure is very high. It's happening all the time.
Right.
He's doing a tremendous job. You know, there's no doubt about that. But this other side to it, how is that properly addressed and how is it stopped?
So let me ask you this. The FISA warrant, the FISA Title I warrant, is that still in effect?
Well, the council just closed down.
All right, so that's not active anymore.
As far as you know.
That's what you like to think.
Well, yeah.
Think of the 2011.
Yeah, so they opened the door and then pretended to shut it.
You don't need a court order for 2011. Remember what we talked about earlier. That's what I'm saying. You have to keep things chronologically in the head. This is complicated. That's another web. See, that's good, Bill, that you asked that question. And Aaron,
he's
that you're
not
helping
gonna
support
answer.
That. Because it still can exist in a different way. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So he is potentially still somewhat surrounded.
Also coming in by the Russians and by the Chinese. And, you know, mm-hmm. Ukrainians are some of the best hackers in the world. You know, so it's a different play, but when you're first talking about somebody who's running for president got hacked, and there are like four or five different countries that appear to have access, so, you know, it's a different discussion, but it happens at the White House all the time. So I'm not making small of it, but I'm saying the exposure done from inside your own government on you through our own intelligence agencies, that's heavy-duty national security damage.
Well, just the fact that if the CIA was involved in that, total violation there. I mean,
that's outside its charter, of course, but it could have been done with the DNI or FBI coordinated, plausible deniability with 5E, with 14 eyes coming in from satellites. You know, there's a lot. That's what I'm saying. That's a whole another dimensional look at this.
Kind of makes it sound like you'll never, it's so augured in, you're never going to be able to figure
it's
out.
Like black mold.
That's right.
Yeah, how are you ever going to figure out where it's coming from or started?
No, you can't. It's just a matter of.
I would imagine that.
Having
it's,
people loyal to the country.
Right. And, yeah, and you have to sit down and be super
sure
methodical about it.
Follow national security protocol.
Right.
And have the right people in office to make ensure it, because you need checks on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need cross checks on it, you need counter checks. And that has to be done every day. That's how it's done when you send a SEAL team out. They're checking themselves, checking their partners, they're checking their younger brothers, they're checking each other out all the time. When they come back, they debrief each other that way too. And the same protocol used in special operations should be used in crisis readiness, crisis preparedness, national security protocols for the White House cybersecurity force. Did I get that out okay?
Yeah. Have the national security protocols tightened in recent years, or are they still pretty much the same as they've always been?
Yeah, the best they can. But you now are moving into quantum. You know, sooner, quicker, faster transmissions.
Right.
So, you know, they can supersede another, you know, smaller bandwidth and come in. You're talking about technology. There's different kinds of technology, different kinds of metals that can be used. Some of it's used in our defense systems. I don't want to go into that because it's higher level, the conversation. Let me break it down at some point for you, and then we can go into that part of the conversation.
All right.
Because some technologies, and this is President Trump's major point, and he did a great job on this. He's talking about dual-purpose technology. And American companies that are in China, some of them are dual-purpose technology. What does that mean?
Right.
Industrial, military.
Right.
And if we're giving that up,
Yeah, we just did a show on that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and but there's it's heavy duty. So that has a larger impact on national security because you're allowed to be compromised inside and outside. So it's inside and outside the White House with Operation Crossfire. It's inside and outside the country through corporations dealing with dual-purpose technologies.
Yeah, they buy it for one purpose, and as soon as they get it out of the country, it's immediately flipped over for military use, which was not part of the part of the agreement.
You can say that. Yeah. Okay.
No, that's what happened in
with Shane Todd.
Yeah, Shane Todd. We had a show last week.
I know that, but there's more to that.
Well, of course. But if you're going to say it in 5 seconds, that's all we get. Hey, and we have to take a really quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Bruce Moran.
Okay, we have 15 minutes left, so let's...
Plus or minus.
Okay.
All righty, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I moved out to Langley recently with a plain and simple dream. Wanna infiltrate some third world place and topple their regime. Those men in black with their mansion suitcases, where everything's on a need-to-know basis. Agents got that swagger, everyone's so cloak and dagger. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm really kind of wishing for an undercover mission. That's when the red alert came on the radio, and I put my earpiece on. Got my dark sunglasses on, and I had my weapon drawn. So I get my handcuffs, my cyanide pills, my classified dossier. Cramming the phones like, yeah. Shredding the files like, yeah. I memorized all the enemy's spies. I gotta neutralize today. Yeah. It's a party in the CIA. Yeah. It's a party in the CIA. Yeah. It's a party in the CIA. I've done a couple of crazy things that have almost gotten me dismissed. Like terminate some head of state who wasn't even on my list. Burn that microfilm, buddy, will you? I tell you why, but then I'd have to kill you. You need a quickie confession. We'll start a waterboarding session. No hurry on this South American dictator. I'll assassinate him later. That's when he walked right in my laser sights. And my silencer was on. My silencer was on, and another target's gone. Yeah, we got our flag up all over the world, from Kazakhstan to Bombay. Paying the bribes like, yeah. Plugging the leaks like, yeah. Interrogating the scum of the earth, we'll break them by the break of day. Yeah, it's a party in the CIA. Yeah, it's a party in the CIA.
Would that it were that much fun.
All right, Bruce, we were...
We were.
Yeah. So
it's all about work.
Pick it up. We got...
We've got a lot of possible things to find out. I mean, in the list, you've got a good list here.
As much as I can talk about them and to what extent I know, but I emailed Aaron on one of the things I knew that was hot, but it was between us and things that are happening, you know.
So I can tell you about that one, Bill, or I'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
You know,
and it was his birthday yesterday, so that would just be
time,
rude.
But to what extent they happen and how they happen and who's involved, that's what we're trying to discover here.
Right.
And the discovery process is what our Attorney General William Barr is tasked to do. And if we go to 7B, that's what I didn't like. Because we are aiding and abetting the Chinese and the Russians and everybody else. You want to read that one?
Yeah, did I was just going to say, for people who aren't looking at it, nefarious Operation Crossfire Hurricane actors use any or all spying tradecraft measures to constantly harass, harangue, impede, and give misinformation about White House operations?
That's what the Russians and the Chinese will do. We're doing their work for them. That's what I'm trying to convey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they try to do. Yep. We are the ones doing it to ourselves.
Well, then the
Russians and the Chinese are saying thank you very much.
Yeah, well, they just plant the seed, and then our press runs with it, and then gets everybody wound up.
And Putin and Xi are probably sitting back in their chair saying, what crazy Americans are these?
Yeah, yeah. This is easier than we thought.
Yeah. There's no collusion. It's not us. It's them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, they made it up and carried it out. And,
yeah,
and blamed us. Made us look good. And so then, you know, were they, yeah, the growing negative reservoir of information to create chaos. And
no, that's different. That's
right,
a different thing.
Right, but you have that to create chaos inside the White House. And I'm like, yeah, what about chaos everywhere else?
I mean, yeah, okay. I want to explain that to you.
Please do.
Okay. That's a different question.
Correct.
You know what PsychOps is?
Yeah, kind of.
Is that what we use on our dog to get him to do what we want?
Yeah. it's a way of manipulating people, but you can also create an alternative reality.
Oh, no, that's what he uses on us.
You create an alternative reality.
Okay.
Okay, that makes sense, and that's what they've kind of done.
You build a growing negative reservoir information to create chaos inside the White House. So if you create an alternative reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did Goebbels do? He created alternative realities.
Sure.
So that's the same thing.
So it's the,
but that's what PsychOps is.
Sure. Tell a lie often enough.
People out
and it comes true.
Using operations that make them believe things are going on. But you can have it happen with people working directly with them, like we're talking about. They can be implants at the White House, or you can do it outside the White House. Because it'll keep you guessing and have you trying to close those clandestine operation networks down. And again, they can turn them off and then turn them on. Or it can be a morphine virus that adapts. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you find it, it knows it's been found, it disappears.
Well, and again, this is why it's so important that we get the opportunity to put the right people in there and stop getting roadblocked and, you know, having our hands tied.
Yeah, the more right people you're saying, Bill, is the more you can check, cross-check, and counter-check your cybersecurity systems, your national security network of people,
mm-hmm.
and how your policy is being instituted in the executive branch, and how all the people in the executive branch are coming to support the president and all 3,000 people capacity, along with the 500 at the upper level Class C positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
If you don't have your people in there attacking this situation head on, you're playing their game.
They're heavily embedded, though. You know, they all have their loyalties.
Mm-hmm.
Both Democrat and Republican, you know, and you don't know who they're on, side they're on. So if they're being watched over, they're not going to be able to do that.
Is it that hard to figure out what side
they're
on? Let
me give you an example. And I give this to people in the intelligence community. We have a bunch of people on our border, but some of them are corrupt, and they're Border Patrol people. Okay. Now, if we have 5,000 down there, and we put another 10,000, how corrupt can they be if more people are looking over everybody else? They're checking, cross-checking, and counter-checking. You can't get the drugs through. You can't get the child trafficking in. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the more people that the president has, the more you can stop it just by the power of numbers.
Right, right. No, that totally makes sense. And that's,
yeah,
that's,
so that's what I'm trying to convey here. The president's been strapped by not having his Class C-500 appointees put in. And then there's another 3,000. Chuck is saying maybe 4,000, but we know 3,000 kind of vacancies that haven't been filled. That's ridiculous.
That is, especially 2 years in.
We have 25 million people in the United States, and I think there's a certain amount of them that can fill that support President Trump are in that 3,000 bracket.
Right.
Would you not think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're 2 years into this game. I mean,
no more.
Well, over 2 years, 2.5 years into
it. Don't forget, we applied to the transition team, so that was even before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Those people, too.
Right. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Some people got kicked off to transition teams. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The president, I don't know what the president knows or doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, then you have an incoming administration that isn't actually able to do what they promised the public. I mean, everybody says, oh, they never live up to their campaign promises and stuff. But but it's fairly difficult to carry out an agenda that you've put forward if
your people aren't in place to implement it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call that the administrative part of the problem because it's in the executive branch, departments and agencies.
Right.
And how they bog it down is they have things that are called laws that are instituted by each department agency, but they overlap. So if you're trying to get your policy through, if they're overlapping, then you can't move it through.
Are they laws or rules?
Both. That's right. Procedures, laws, rules. There's a procedural part of the law that you have to go to court, and that's protracted too. So you're up against it. Mm-hmm. Now, I also put into the report about the farmers, the ranchers, and the entrepreneurs. They can't go up against that because it's too big dealing with the United States government.
Sure.
They go bankrupt trying to defend themselves in the court.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same national security problem because we need to protect our food supplies. But if there are people who are jilting the system against certain farmers, ranchers, and entrepreneurs, then you have the same problem.
Yeah, it's a big system.
It's really convoluted in a way. That's why I'm trying to sort it out in a simpler way, because I know people working on this personally. Because I'm, that's what I do.
Well, the other part of it too is they've put a real chilling effect on anybody who would support a future president. You look at all the people who wound up investigated and into zillions of dollars in legal fees defending themselves from. From doing nothing.
Just being affiliated.
Right. Who got pulled right out of their shoes in midstream. So, you look at it then, how many people are going to come forward? And we don't get the best people that way. It's not a good way to get the best and the brightest folks. So.
All right, Bruce.
We've burned.
How much time do we have left?
12 seconds.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless America. Protect our national security interests. Let's hope this information gets out there and people are able to act on it in an appropriate and fitting manner.
Yep. Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing what you can with us.
Sorry, Chuck couldn't make it. We could talk another 2 hours about other things that apply to it, but I think we did okay.
Yeah.
But there's a larger, like I said.
And there's a huge amount of information.
Information.
Yeah.
Clandestine activities that are involved. So
well, we got a lot of
things to do.
Ton of information for you on the website. All the things that we referenced today are on there for you to read with links, etc. from our guest, Bruce Moran, from Security Solutions Technology.
God bless you all. God bless America.
Thanks a lot, Bruce. Have a great one.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.